It's election day here in Duval. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening this Tuesday, this election day. And just ahead, low turnout expected across Duval County as voters go to the polls. But one group not taking their rights for granted, Jacksonville's returning citizens. They'll have the opportunity to cast a ballot for the first time since the passage of Amendment 4 in the state. Get on the line now as we talk about Election Day at 549-2937. Then later, the state of Florida recognizes the incredible heritage of the Allman Brothers Band. We'll look ahead to this week's big unveiling here in Jacksonville, plus a preview of the St. Augustine Lions Seafood Festival coming up this weekend. All of that ahead this hour, but first this morning, the polls are open right now across Duval County as voters cast ballots in today's city elections for mayor, sheriff, city council races, and more. And for the first time since regaining the right to vote, Jacksonville's returning citizens will have the opportunity to make their voices heard in this election. It is just the second Florida election in which people who have served their time, who were re-enfranchised under Amendment 4, will be able to vote. Now, this is going to be a very low turnout election, probably under 30%. Too many of you out there take for granted your precious right to cast a ballot. Not so this group of citizens, and we're speaking with them today. Here in studio now with more Jacksonville's Keith Ivey, a returning citizen who cast his ballot over the weekend. Keith, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And joining us by phone, Neil Voltz. He's political director for the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. Neil, good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And what are your thoughts about Amendment 4 people as people that could not vote due to a past felony conviction are now eligible to vote, and they're voting in Duval County today? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online and send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. And we welcome your thoughts on our Facebook page. And in a moment, we'll hear Keith Ivey's story. He voted for the first time Saturday or Sunday over the early voting period. But first, Neil, let's get to the big picture. You're political director for the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. You and a couple of other activists were instrumental in the passage of Amendment 4, getting people who had been convicted of a felony able to get their voting rights restored. And this began, as I understand it, with your very personal story. You had an incredible career going in D.C. You were a lobbyist. You got caught up in the Jack Abramoff scandal. Those that followed that story might remember this. And you ended up serving time. And so from that journey, how did you come to be a voting rights activist? Tell me a little bit about that history.
Well, I would say that my story is very similar to so many other people's stories in Florida. The fact that we experienced the pain of dealing with the criminal justice system, but also a broken felon disenfranchisement process in Florida. At the time, before Amendment 4, we were one of four states that would permanently bar people from voting because of a past felony conviction. Other states like Texas and Georgia and others had already made changes to allow people to restore their eligibility. So when I moved to Florida, I began to, like so many others, experience this process firsthand as I was trying to put my life back together. And what you saw was an amazing network of family and friends. And it wasn't one or two folks. It was a movement of people from all walks of life who ultimately helped get this on the ballot. And folks like Keith and others in Jacksonville who helped get petitions signed and get this thing passed, who now we're sitting here experiencing history, you know, today. In Jacksonville, people are voting who weren't able to vote before. This is the greatest expansion of democracy in 50 years. And it's a real honor to talk to you about it. And it's humbling to think about what's possible when people put partisanship aside, work together, and move things forward for the common good.
Sure. You're a Republican. You worked with Democrats on this effort. And when Amendment 4 passed, it required at least 60% voter support. It got 65%. An enormous show of bipartisan goodwill in the state, Keith Ivey. There is widespread agreement in this state that people need to be able to cast a ballot. And that includes you. Now, you voted for the first time in your life, is that right, over the weekend in the city elections?
Yes, I did. I voted Sunday.
Okay. And what was that like for you?
It was refreshing. It was a renewal. It was everything that I thought it would be. I was just very calm, surprisingly calm. It was a quick process. Just going forward, just thank God that it was. I was able to see it in my lifetime. It's been a lifelong journey, so I'm just thankful for the opportunity.
And how was it during the years when you were ineligible to vote? Well, how did that sit with you?
It's been a dark cloud for a long time. Just when people ask you, did you vote? You kind of shy away because you don't want to answer. You don't want to tell them your story because you're so defeated in that. But now I'm one of the people that can vote. So it's, you know, it's refreshing to say, yes, I voted.
And what do you think about the fact that we're having an election in March, so that's going to depress turnout? It's a really low turnout election today in Duval County. Even though it's an important election, it's the chance for people to choose their local representatives, but we'll probably see turnout under 30%. What would you say to those listening right now? They could go cast a ballot easily, but they don't.
I would encourage them to speak your voice. This is your one opportunity to have a stake in the election. We've gone so long without having a voice, so here's your opportunity. Take full advantage. Don't take it lightly. There have been a lot of people who have died and lost their lives for civil rights, and one of those rights is to vote. So I would say definitely go out, be a part of this democracy, and just be a part of society. It's refreshing to know that I haven't been able to vote my whole entire adult life, but to have the opportunity now, it's been rewarding.
It's 549-2937 to join us on the show this Election Day morning. Give us a call at 549-2937 as we talk about Election Day in Jacksonville and the passage of Amendment 4. That has been, as you said, Neil, the biggest expansion of civil rights in this country almost since the passage of the Civil Rights Act, or the amendment that guaranteed women in this country the right to vote some 100 years ago. When Amendment 4 passed, Neil, in Florida, that enfranchised 1.5 million citizens, more than any other state in the country. That's according to the Sentencing Project, an advocacy group that works on rights restoration for former felons. And so can you talk a little bit more about the significance of Amendment 4, not just for Florida, but for the entire country?
You bet. And Gus, thanks for the question, because, you know, as I listen to you ask it, I mean, you think about where we are. We're sitting on the shoulders of, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil Rights Movement, women's suffrage. I mean, you're talking about an expansion of liberty that impacts 1.5 million people in our state. And it happened in November. And now we all get to walk it out together as friends and neighbors and family members, you know, all begin to reengage the community and have their voice heard. And the truth is, when you think about what happened in November, you know, we got over 1 million votes more than any elected official, any political candidate. And that's because people were going to vote for their family members, their neighbors, their friends. This was a vote of love and a vote of unity. And it's just amazing to experience and listen to Keith share his story and know that all across Jacksonville, there are people who are engaging the process for the first time. And that renewed freshness, I think, is going to impact other people to get engaged in the process too, hopefully over time.
Now, let me ask you as well as a follow-up. As I mentioned, this was certainly a bipartisan affair. You teamed up with another voting rights activist in Florida named Desmond Mead, a Democrat. You had worked for Republican politicians in D.C. when you got caught up in the Jack Abramoff scandal. But when you, after you had come out on the other side of that and started working on voting rights restoration in Florida, you found common cause with people from the other political party. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you think this has won such widespread bipartisan support in Florida?
One is that this was a built around bonds of shared experiences and people. Like we aligned ourselves along the lines of humanity. And actually, Des would not call himself a Democrat. He registered as non-affiliated.
Oh, okay, MPA.
Yeah, knowing that we worked really long and really hard to try and earn the ability to vote back. And with the blessing of the public, we were able to get that. And so his view is he doesn't want to just give that vote to somebody for a partisan purpose. He wants to see if people can earn the vote, because that's a part of this process. But what we saw was really a commitment that transcended partisanship. This is a build around values, a simple premise that when a debt's paid, it's paid. And people from all walks of life can get behind that. We saw it in urban, suburban, rural parts of the state, and it's a very basic, simple value that, you know, the vast majority of people could connect with, especially when you think about the fact that millions of people were personally impacted. And so in every community, there was a friend, a family member, an aunt, an uncle, who could also talk to this issue in a way that people could relate to beyond partisanship.
And how do you see the passage of Amendment 4 affecting partisan politics in Florida? The perception is that it will help Democrats more than Republicans, but it's my understanding you don't necessarily agree with that. Is that right?
I think where we're going to see the biggest impact is actually on the issues that are discussed. Because you have a new group of voters who have some shared experiences. So we believe that issues like criminal justice reform and access to education and jobs and housing for people with past felony convictions are going to suddenly be talked about in a way that they haven't been talked about in the past. And that'll give parties, individual candidates from all over, the ability to try and woo these new voters. And we'll see what happens from a partisan perspective, but I think it's a little early to say. But we do know it's going to impact the issues that are being discussed.
Keith Ivey, do you agree?
Totally. excuse me. We don't know exactly which way this is going to go. 1.4 million voters, excuse me, are able to vote this year, and or actually ability to register to vote. But we don't know if they're going to vote Democrat or Republican. So the issue, again, isn't about which way people are going to vote. It's about the people with the opportunity just to restore someone who is a returning citizen, giving them an opportunity to become part of society, to remove that dark cloud. That is the issue at hand here.
And if you're just tuning in, it's Election Day here in Jacksonville. Voters should be casting their ballots across Duval County today if you haven't already voted early. If you haven't thought about this, get out and vote. The polls are open until 7 p.m. The mayor, the sheriff, city council races, the tax collector race, the property appraiser race, all on the ballot. You need to get out and vote. Don't blow it off. Let's get that voter turnout up higher, because as we've been talking about on the show right now, 1.5 million Floridians who had lost their right to vote under the state's former law around felony convictions are now able to vote thanks to the widespread approval of Amendment 4 and the work of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. There are so many citizens in Florida, returning citizens, who are excited about the opportunity to finally be able to vote. So don't take your right to vote for granted. And let's go to your calls right now on this election day at 549-2937. Give us a call at 549-2937. Linda is in Bay Meadows. Hi, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just thinking that I love to vote because I was raised that way. My mom and my aunt were poll workers, and my father and uncle were there, and I was there when I was probably 6 to 8. So it was cultural that I understood the process. Everybody doesn't have that experience, but I just think that we've trivialized and made it not important because people like to blow off the importance. But I think about when the South African blacks won their right to vote, and they stood in line for days to vote. It was a beautiful thing, and I just think so many people blow it off because, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, no, it will not count if you don't vote. So unfortunately, we've got that baked into the formula, and I just hope people would be engaged and know that this is your one chance to let your legislator, potential legislators, know you want them. Thanks.
Thanks, Linda. And, you know, Keith, it's just human nature, I guess. You don't appreciate what you have until it's gone. If you don't have something, suddenly it becomes a lot more valuable.
Much more valuable. For myself, I never thought about it I couldn't vote. That's just the way it was. Now that we've had the opportunity to actually get our voting rights back, I've just been on every front trying to make sure that this goes through. There has been opposition, but we've stood against that opposition. We just want to be able to have our voice heard as well. I know so many people are in the same position as me. People who work every day, they're taxpayers, they're regular human beings. They just want to live a regular life. They want to be heard when it's time to vote, and they just want to be a part of society.
And as you just mentioned, the passage of Amendment 4 was a long road, many years of activism.
Many.
Like over a decade, I believe. Yeah.
I'm 46. I have never voted until this year.
Wow. And so did your family go with you when you voted?
My wife went. My daughter actually, she's a student at UCF. She was actually able to vote this year to help get the Amendment 4 passed. So those things have definitely been impactful in my life. My mom and my dad voted for Amendment 4. At least that's what they told me. But I assume that they did. So it's been a group effort, a family effort. And the young lady that was speaking about how it's cultural and it's baked into the formula, she's very right, because for myself, I just didn't have it in the recipe. It wasn't part of my day to day. I wasn't going to vote, but now I can.
Let's go to Mary in St. Johns County. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I want to congratulate them for getting this passed. I know it was a tremendous effort, and I'm so happy for all the people who are able to vote. But my question is, why were murderers and sex offenders excluded from this amendment? There's still thousands of people who have served their time, completed their probation, paid all their fines, and satisfied everything in the law and by the court. So why are they still disenfranchised? I know it's a political hot button, but they deserve to have all the rights that your speaker has just been talking about and not continue to be disenfranchised.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for the question. And Keith Ivey, let's answer that quickly, because with the passage of Amendment 4, it enfranchises former felons, except those convicted of violent crimes, murder, and sex offenses.
That is very true. That's what they agreed to. It's a first step. The step that we got past, we were happy with that, but the fight will continue on. We do understand that some people are being discriminated against, but right now we're just happy with the accomplishment that we have, and we will be speaking about other issues in the future.
549-2937. We now have Desmond Mead on the line, who also was a leader in the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, perhaps the most visible leader of the incredible effort to pass Amendment 4 in Florida. Desmond, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And on this election day in Duval County, what are your thoughts about Jacksonville voters who have recently been re-enfranchised thanks to your efforts going out and casting a ballot?
Well, first of all, I can't take all the credit. You know, I think what the Amendment 4 victory represents is really the efforts of a grassroots movement, you know, from people from all walks of life and all political persuasions that actually believe in second chances and say that Florida must too. And so today I'm really looking forward to people really being able to exercise their right to vote. I know some have already voted and have messaged me and told me about how they were just overwhelmed with joy when they were actually casting their ballot. And that's what this is all about, you know, about giving American citizens an opportunity to have their voices heard.
Sure. And as we were talking about with your political director, Neil Volz, just a moment ago, he had to jump off the line because he's in Tallahassee and involved with some activism around this. This is the most significant restoration of voting rights in America in at least the last 50 years, if not the last 100 years. When you think about the significance of what you've accomplished nationally, how do you reflect on that?
Well, you know, it's so easy to really focus on the amount of people that we were able to re-enfranchise because of Amendment 4, and rightfully so. You know, but what I most focus on was how we won, right? how Amendment 4 would pass and what we got to witness on Election Day. You know, we had over 5.1 million voters that voted yes on Amendment 4. And that was a million more voters than any candidate on the ballot received. And when you looked at those 5.1 million voters, what you seen was there were votes that was not based on hate, nor were they based on fear, but they were rather votes that was based on love, forgiveness, and redemption. And for a moment, for that day, for that evening, the Florida and the rest of the world got to actually see love winning the day. And I think that that is so important, because in this political climate that we're in, where there's so much division and hatred just spewing around, to be able to show the world that people from all walks of life, from all political persuasions, can come together and unify and move a major policy issue, to me is encouraging. And I believe that the ship of this country is starting to turn in the right direction to get away from the things that are tearing this country apart.
As we speak with Desmond Mead, president of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, and Keith Ivey, who just cast a ballot in Jacksonville over the weekend for the first time in our local city elections. We're taking your calls, too, on the show as we talk about Election Day in Duval and the passage of Amendment 4. Willie is in Murray Hill. Hi, Willie. Good morning.
Good morning. I voted for the amendment, for them to vote, the Amendment 4.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. But looking at Jacksonville, Florida, I'm just wondering, because somebody called me this morning about voting, what is the significance of Black Americans voting in Jacksonville, Florida, when it's a conservative, city, and it's already corrupt? And look at the north side and how it is. And then my second thing is, even the brothers and sisters, Black and white, who got the right to vote, they still got to find work in a conservative city like this. If they don't hire them, they're subject to go back to prison anyway. I just think it's some kind of con game, and we never win. Nothing.
Okay, so I hear a little cynicism from you, Willie, and I appreciate the call. Keith Ivey, when we talk about local politics in Duval County and the perception among some voters that there's political corruption in the city, that the so-called donor class tends to control things to an inordinate degree, and that voting is a waste of time, that the outcome is often preordained. Whether or not that's true, that's certainly the perception a lot of county residents hold. So what would you say to those who might feel it's not worth it, it's not worth my time to go out and vote?
I would say go vote. The elected officials that we elect into office are an arm or voice of what we believe and what we speak to the public. So those elected officials, we're the ones that put them in office. The people with the voice have the power. Those people that we put into office are representing us. So when we need the north side or any other area of Jacksonville to be supported, we go through the elected official. And the only way we go through the elected official is to vote. So you have to get out and vote and call these people to task. When we put them in office, come to the city council meetings, hear what they're speaking about. If they're not speaking about your issue, take the podium. Make sure that these people hear your voice. It's simple. We don't take advantage of the resources that we have. And the resources that we have, the very first thing is your voice and your vote. So today, Tuesday, get out and vote for your elected official that you think would push your agenda. If the north side is in shambles, find out who the city council member is for that area and go out and vote for that particular person, or go to their office and speak to them one-on-one.
Desmond Mead, I know it's your hope that that message will carry not just in Jacksonville, but all over Florida.
Yeah, I believe that the problems that Jacksonville may be facing is not unique to Jacksonville. You know, I think you could go basically in any city in the United States and have allegations of of wrongdoings or influenced by donors. But at the end of the day, there's two things that I know to be true. Number one is, no matter how much money a person gets, money don't vote. People do, right? And the only way a person could get into office is if people vote them into office. Number two is, I know that if our vote didn't matter, there wouldn't be people out there trying so hard to keep us from voting or trying to create narratives that discourages us from voting. Voting does matter, right? And it mattered, guess what, in this past election. Because if we thought voting didn't matter, we wouldn't have put Amendment 4 on the ballot. And because voting mattered, Amendment 4 passed. So there is power in your vote, and you cannot let any narrative or let anybody convince you that your vote don't count. Because when you believe that your vote don't count, then that means that you believe that you don't have a voice. That means that you believe that you are powerless. And that is totally wrong.
Well, Desmond Mead, kudos to you. I know it's a special day for you and all the activists that worked on Amendment 4. Desmond Mead on the line, president of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. We also spoke with his political director, Neil Votes, and Keith Ivey, who lives in Jacksonville and cast his first ever ballot over the weekend in the city elections. Gentlemen, thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
All right, Keith.
Thank you,
Keith,
Desmond.
I'm happy for you, my brother.
I appreciate your effort, man.
Thank you, Desmond and Keith. And it is election day, so we want to take a minute now and bring you up to speed on all of the races and how you can stay with us here at WJCT throughout the day and evening, both on the air and online. Our digital director, Bill Bortsfield, has been working very hard on our election build-out on our website, and he joins us now in studio. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Yeah, you know, now that it is election day, probably the most important thing, we were talking to the supervisor of elections office yesterday, our colleague Sid, and they brought up two specific things everybody wants to make sure of. One, bring your photo ID today, your driver's license, when you go to vote. And two, unlike early voting, remember, you must go to your precinct. You can't go to a library or other locations. Now, many people may not necessarily be sure of their precinct. So, as part of our voter's guide, if you go to WJCT.org, you will find a precinct finder. And what you do, you go ahead, you put in your address, your zip code, hit enter. Obviously, give it a moment to catch up. And what's going to happen is it will bring up your voting precinct. Probably most of us at this point have a fairly good idea who we want to vote for today. But if you're unsure, or maybe you're a procrastinator, you will find all the candidates listed. And in many cases, we've put together candidate profiles for you. And in all cases, there are also finance reports available if you just want to sort of get an idea. So, you know, there's an old saying out there, vote as you please, but please vote.
That's right. And if you go to WJCT.org, just scroll down the homepage, about halfway down the homepage, you will see the voter's guide button. Click on that, because Bill has built profiles of all of the mayoral candidates, the other major candidates, the other races and issues on the ballot. There's also a link where you can print out a sample ballot and look at it before you go vote, so you're familiar with who you'll be voting for.
Yeah, and I don't want to take credit for work that really the Duval County Supervisors of Elections have done, because so much of the information in that guide is sourced directly from them. But, you know, of course, one of the biggest races people are focusing on is the mayor's race. So I'll also remind our voters that, hey, if you missed the mayoral debate where all the candidates were there, including the mayor, we do have that up in the voter's guide as well. We have the story summary. We have the entire debate from 89-9. And we also have the video version there. So if for some reason you missed it and you want to get caught up before you run out to vote, because of course you have until 7 p.m., you can still watch or listen to that debate.
That's right. And you can listen to us on the air beginning at 7 p.m., where we will have live extended coverage of all of the election results. Now, keep in mind, this is a first election, as it's known. If candidates don't clear the 50% plus one voter threshold, they will go to a May runoff. So in some of these races, particularly some of the district city council races, your vote matters greatly. Some of these votes could be very, very close. So please, please cast your ballot and tuned to 89.9 FM beginning at 7 p.m. tonight. We will also stream live coverage on our website at WJCT.org. And Bill Bortsfield, our digital director, in the middle of all of this amazing work. So again, go to WJCT.org/elections for your voter guide on this election day. And Bill, thank you so much for being with us.
Melissa, thank you. And one more quick note. Of course, we will have election returns on the website tonight as well.
Okay, and that's coming up later in the day. Meanwhile, right after this break, Jacksonville celebrates the birth of the Allman Brothers Band. That's in a moment here on First Coast Connect. You're listening to 89.9. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, with a quick reminder here while we bring in our next guest. The WJCT is public radio, radio for the public, by the public. What does this mean exactly? Well, it means that WJCT is a nonprofit independent news organization that is supported directly by listeners, listeners just like you, giving what they can to keep the service they rely on very strong. Bringing you the news every day is our top priority, but every so often we take to the airwaves to remind you just how important supporters are to this equation. More than half our funding comes directly from listeners' support, just like you. You listen, then you support us. This periodic reminder is called the Pledge Drive. And in an effort to keep this pledge drive uninterrupted, we are asking you to pledge your support this week. And for every donation this week, we will shave time off the upcoming pledge drive. Maybe we won't have it at all. In fact, for every 1,000 people who donate this week, we'll take an entire day off the drive. So do your part now. Call us at 904-353-9528 or visit us online at wjct.org. And thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back. This week, the first ever historic landmark to the Allman Brothers will be unveiled here in Jacksonville. The Florida Heritage Marker will go up at the Gray House, as it's known, at 2844 Riverside Avenue. That's the house where the Allman Brothers first got together with their band and started making music. In fact, the story goes that it was a legendary jam session. Florida author and historian Bob Keeling helped lead the push to get this marker put up, and he's on the line now. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. You know, you've written books about Elvis Presley's time in Florida, about Graham Parsons, who had ties to Jacksonville, and now we come to the incredible Southern rock contribution of the Allman Brothers. It's been 50 years since they first jammed at that house in Riverside. And so this marker is going up later this week. This is pretty exciting stuff.
It is. And you know, it's our pleasure, along with the owners of the house, actually, Dennis and Mildred Price, who took it upon themselves to pay tribute to the band in this way once they found out years ago the historic relevance of this house. And we've been waiting for the 50-year earmark that the state of Florida has put out for naming, you know, historic properties in this way. And Saturday will be 50 years to the day of the so-called Jacksonville Jam, and that's when we will unveil this beautiful marker.
And what happened on that day? How did this whole thing get started?
They split the Southern rock atom, you might say. Dwayne, and he had brought an African-American drummer with him named Jimo down from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where they were doing session work. And they were looking to start their own band. And they had met Barry Oakley with the Second Coming. They knew Butch Trucks. And they were down there looking to form something new. You know, Dwayne and Greg had had several other bands here in Florida, like the Hourglass and the Almond Joys and the Escorts. So this really was the culmination of the search for their sound. And when they had that jam in that house that day, everybody knew it. Butch Truck said the hair on the back of his neck was standing up. And Dwayne, as legend has it, put his hand on the door jamb and said, anybody that doesn't want to be in my band is going to have to fight his way out of here. So it's very historic.
I love these origin stories for bands. And in particular, it's exciting that this marker is going up and there's official statewide recognition of this, because most rock fans know that Jacksonville is really the birthplace of Southern rock as a genre, whether it's the Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, 38 Special. Those are the three bands I think that tend to come to mind the most when you think about this particular style of music and how Duval really birthed it.
And it's nice to see private citizens taking the lead and saying, you know what, we want to let people know about this stuff, and folks who are fans of this genre may know that the Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, the home where the Van Zandts grew up was landmarked recently too. So we're getting there. But if you look about the Allman Brothers history, you know, they moved from Jacksonville once they formed up to Macon, Georgia, and my God, Macon, Georgia has landmarked just about everything that has to do with the Allman Brothers. So we still have a long way to go to celebrate the incredibly rich history that Jacksonville has, but this is certainly a step in the right direction. And yeah, our application actually was passed unanimously by the Historic Marker Board in September of last year.
Right. It's been slow in coming. Jacksonville really celebrating its history, whether it's Southern rock or other things like the really rich African American history here. So this is a city, I think, that's been really slow to celebrate its own, which is too bad. And sometimes it takes outsiders to give a little push, like you, Bob, because you come from Orlando. But this is just something you really have been interested in and have been writing about for a long time, right?
Yeah, and I bristled when I first moved to Orlando about 25 years ago, because everybody had this sense that, oh, there's no history that predates Walt Disney. And so I sort of made it a mission, but it's collective. It's certainly, I'm not doing this by myself. It's collective, and I like to sort of throw the pebble in the water and then see where the ripples go. And fortunately, the owners of the Gray House, the Prices, were right on board, and we've been talking about it for years. So to finally get it to this threshold is just wonderful.
Okay, you know, I was thinking about this as well. Remember when Greg Allman was briefly married to Cher?
For about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like about 3 days or however long it was, but long enough to have a son, Elijah Blue, who went into the rock industry himself. What have you heard from him about this dedication or her? Tell me about that.
I personally have not. You also have the Tedeschi Trucks Band based in Jacksonville. You know, Derek Trucks is Butch's nephew. And I will say that one of the things we were doing when we were looking for the documentation, Dennis pulled together a bunch of historic interviews that talked about the Gray House. And then sort of to put the cherry on top of the sundae, I reached out to Butch via email when I was writing a book review for the Tampa Bay Times about one of the Allman bios. And I sent him a picture of the front room of the Gray House just to say, can you confirm, was this a place? And he said, that's it. And he even pointed out exactly which band member was set up where. So it was great to get that documentation because there's also a greenhouse right down the street that also has historic relevance as well for many jams that happen there. And we haven't forgotten about that house on the marker either. It's mentioned.
Now, will people be able to go inside the home, or is it still occupied?
It is still occupied. It is a private residence. So it's not going to be like a museum, say, that they have at the big house up in Macon. But we felt so strongly that the Allman Brothers have very, very deep roots here in Florida that go back to 1957. Greg and Dwayne's mother actually moved to Florida after her husband, their father, was murdered. and started a life for herself. And they both latched on to music growing up in Daytona Beach. And, you know, this is the beginning of a historic journey that ends with the culmination of the band being formed and then them really getting on their way in March of 69 right there in Jacksonville.
There's also a marker at the home where the boys from Lynyrd Skynyrd grew up. And so this is one more step in this journey of celebrating Southern rock in Jacksonville. And Bob, let's talk too for a minute about a big celebration coming up this Friday night on the rooftop of the MOSH, the Museum of Science and History in Jacksonville. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a ticketed event. And there'll be you know, a lecture that goes back even further on the history of the Allman Brothers Band by a historian by the name of Bob Beatty. There's going to be a tribute band as well, and we're going to speak a couple of words about the formation of the relevance of the Gray House, and I have a little slideshow with some pictures of the inside of the house so people can see what it looks like. There's one important thing also about the Gray House. There's a combination of history there, not just the band being formed. The thing that made this historic for the state of Florida was that Greg Allman did some early writing of at least one of their classic tunes, Whippin' Post, where he was staying upstairs in a porch-type room, and it said it came to him in the middle of the night, and he didn't have anything to write with, so he went in the kitchen and wrote it on an ironing board with burned-out matches. So it's just a great story, but it's the combination of those two things, not just that the jam happened there. That's what made the Gray House qualify for this historic recognition.
Very cool. And it's always great to speak with you, Bob. You've done such great writing around all of these incredible Florida figures. So thanks for getting on the line with us. This celebration is coming up Friday at the Gray House at 2844 Riverside Avenue, where a Florida Heritage marker will go up, marking the formation of the Allman Brothers Band. Ticketed event Friday night at the MOSH. Bob Keeling, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Melissa.
Up next, a preview of the St. Augustine Lions Seafood Festival. We'll be right back. Enjoy this music.
It's Michelle Corum. I love it when you start your day with me and Morning Edition and your favorite cup of coffee or tea. And then you go on to enjoy other public radio programs we have here on WJCT. But it's time to give as we take advantage of the standard program breaks. We need to reach our goal by March 29th to minimize the regular on-air fundraising all year long. Contact us at WJCT.org/radiouninterrupted.
Senior living community located in World Golf Village offering residents maintenance-free living and active lifestyle options, plus assisted living, nursing care, and therapy. More information is available at WestminsterSt.AugustineFL.org. The Florida Department of Health, making healthy tomorrows possible with the right vaccines today. The protection vaccines provide is universal, defending against disease from infancy through old age. Protection begins at thepowertoprotect.org.
What a throw by Ichiro!
Baseball's Ichiro Suzuki joined the Seattle Mariners 18 years ago. This week could be his last in uniform. The Mariners and the Oakland A's open the Major League season on Wednesday in Tokyo with tens of thousands of Ichiro fans in the stands. That story plus the big headlines from around the globe, it's on the world. This afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
Becky Sarnicki's son, Nick, struggled with addiction.
He went through more rehabs than I can count, and I could tell something wasn't right.
It's true, something was not right. I'm Elsa Chang. A Mother Jones investigation into patient brokers, insurance scams, and the shady world of rehab. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
The cosmetics industry is already worth billions, but skincare is booming like never before. Retailers are reporting record sales of high-end treatments, face masks, and serums. The real cost of looking good, especially for your next selfie, next time on 1A. Today at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, boatloads of seafood and some choices for the landlubbers, too, is the highlight of this weekend's St. Augustine Lions Seafood Festival. Wayne Mansell is with the St. Augustine Lions Club, sponsor of the Big Bash, and he joins us now. Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
This is a huge event every year in St. Augustine, and so it's exciting when it comes around. This is coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you love seafood, Wayne, this is the place to be, right?
It is absolutely the place to be. Yeah. We have great seafood. We have a lot of different vendors that come in from all over the state, actually from all over the country. We actually have a vendor coming from Maryland, one of our crab vendors, and their specialty is crab cakes, Maryland crab cakes.
Oh, wow. So not just seafood from Florida, not just Mayport shrimp and things like that.
That's correct. Yeah, we have a little bit of everything. We have one of our vendors that he says seafood and Greek food. So there's a lot of options for everyone. So if you're not a seafood lover, still come out because there's a lot of different options for you. We're going to have barbecue on the field this year.
Oh, wow. So this will be a little different. Yeah. Now, this is a huge fundraiser for Lions Club International. It's one of the biggest civic organizations in the world.
So if
people come and support this, they're supporting your charitable efforts. Can you tell us a little bit about how money will be spent, where this will all go?
Absolutely. Well, the primary proceeds from it will go to the St. Augustine Lions Club. We're a 501c3. So 100% of the proceeds are spent on charity. Around 85% of that's going to stay right in St. John's County. And in the last 10 years, we've probably raised $1 million. And we do a lot of different things with that.
That's a lot of seafood.
That's a lot of seafood. But, you know, we do a lot of great things with that. We provide scholarships for high school students in St. John's County. We do eye screenings in the local schools, diabetes screenings out in different things that happen around town. Just a lot of great things, food banks that we support, St. Francis House. We have individuals that come to us that need assistance, that maybe they need an eye exam and they need eyeglasses, but they don't have insurance and they can't afford it. You know, we work hand in hand with the local doctor and we take care of that and cover the cost of all that for them. We probably handle between 30 and 50 cases a month of just that, someone that needs eyeglasses.
Wow. Meeting a lot of needs. So this weekend is all about seafood, but also a lot of live music. It's a music festival too, isn't it?
Right. It is. It's free music. You're $5 admission to get in for 15 and older, and active duty military are free. But it's live music all weekend, Friday night, Saturday all day into Saturday night, and then again Sunday afternoon.
Now, this is happening, if you've never been, at Francis Field. That's in downtown St. Augustine. There's a huge parking garage there, the municipal parking garage. I've parked in it many times. People need to get there early, though, don't they? Because parking will eventually be scarce. How can people, say people are coming down from Jacksonville for this, what's your advice to them?
I would encourage them to use the shuttles. They're free shuttles. And that's something that the city started, and we jumped on board. We were actually the test pilot for that a couple of years ago for the city. Mm-hmm. And so they're free shuttles, and there's one at San Marco, and there's one out at the health department. Come in, get on the shuttle, ride into town. It'll drop you off. They run till 11 o'clock at night, And so we close at 9, but if you want to go to the festival, then walk into town. You're close enough, you can walk right down to St. George Street or walk downtown and have a good time and still have time to get to the stop and get back to your vehicle.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to check out the festival and then also spend some time in the nation's oldest city, which is always fun. So
always fun.
Yeah. All right, so it's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the St. Augustine Seafood Festival at Francis Field. As Wayne said, take the shuttle if you can. Go to lionsfestival.com for more about all the weekend's events. Wayne Mansfield with the St. Augustine Lions Club, sponsor of the Seafood Festival. Almost 40 years now you've been doing this, by the way.
40 years, a long time.
Yeah. It's quite an event. So have fun this weekend in St. Augustine. And Wayne, thanks for coming in to tell us all about it.
Great. Thank you for having us again.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum is our director. If you missed anything this morning, make sure to catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. And if you're listening tonight, keep listening for the Electro Lounge. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Remember, it's Election Day, and the polls are open until 7 p.m. tonight. Get out and cast a ballot. Go to wjct.org/elections for a full voter guide. And make sure to listen live beginning at 7 p.m. tonight here on 89.9 and on the web as we stream you the live election results. Have a great day, everybody.
I get my favorite dish, fish. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Crack, crack, I get my seafood, mama. Shrimp and rice, they're very nice.
Hold tight,
hold tight,
hold tight.
Okay.
I want some seafood, mama.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.